Akatra Foundation presents The Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back. Today we're going deep on, well, one of the most fascinating figures of the last century, Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. Someone who brought just unbelievable joy to millions. The music, the dancing, pure magic.
Pure magic. But at the same time, there was this incredibly troubled, isolated life unfolding behind the scenes. It's a mystery, really.
It is. And that's exactly what J. Randy Tarabarelli tackles in his biography, Michael Jackson. The magic, the madness. It's a really comprehensive look.
Yeah. And we're going to unpack that central idea today, how the magic and the madness, as Tarabarelli puts it, weren't separate things at all.
Exactly. He argues they were completely intertwined, two sides of the same coin, you know. Fed by each other.
And Tarabarelli had incredible access, right? Decades covering entertainment, connections inside the Jackson circle.
He did. Which gives the book this balanced perspective. It's not just hero worship or, you know, tearing him down. It tries to understand the whole person.
So our mission here is to explore that paradox. His journey from this child star in Gary, Indiana.
To global icon, King of Pop.
And then ultimately this really tragic figure. What can we learn from it all? About fame, family, trauma, the human condition, really.
It's a big story with, honestly, some profound lessons.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning, part three, the chronological journey. Tarabarelli takes us right back to Gary, Indiana. Describe that setting.
Right. It's working class roots, impoverished, really. The family, the Jacksons, crammed into a tiny house.
And the father, Joe Jackson, a huge figure in the story.
Huge and incredibly complex. He had his own failed music dreams, and he poured all that ambition, maybe frustration, into his kids, specifically the Jackson Five.
But the discipline. Tarabarelli doesn't shy away from describing how harsh it was.
No, he doesn't. It goes way beyond tough love. The book details physical and emotional abuse, Joe using belts, threats, intense pressure during rehearsals.
Wow.
And Tarabarelli's point is crucial. This forged discipline, yes, an incredible work ethic, but it also left these deep psychological scars on Michael especially.
So the book argues his childhood essentially was his career.
Pretty much. The quote is stark. Michael Jackson never had a childhood. He had a career instead. That loss, that lack of normal development, it's the bedrock for so much later.
The foundation for the madness side of the coin, maybe?
He could definitely see it that way. That lack of innocence he seemed to chase his whole life.
So even during the Jackson 5 mania, the Motown years, hitting superstardom, it wasn't freedom.
Not really. Tarabarelli calls it a gilded cage. He's world famous, adored, but utterly cut off.
Like he couldn't just hang out with kids his own age.
Exactly. The book mentions him looking out hotel windows, just watching other kids play, wishing he could join in. Frown loneliness. Stunted emotional growth.
Yeah.
It all starts very early.
Okay, so that sets the stage, but then comes the artistic explosion, right? His break from the family, from Motown.
Yes, a huge turning point. He moves to Epic Records and crucially partners with Quincy Jones. That collaboration was lightning in a bottle. First, off the wall in 79, his Declaration of Independence, musically.
Such a great album.
Incredible. And then just a few years later, 1982, Thriller.
The game changer.
Completely. It wasn't just an album. It was a cultural event. Redefined music, MTV, music videos, broke down racial barriers on pop radio and TV.
The videos were like mini movies, Billie Jean, Thriller itself.
Exactly. Tarabarelli highlights how they made him the global superstar. Peak magic.
But here's the paradox again. Tarabarelli says, Thriller, this peak, also marked the beginning of his imprisonment. How?
It's such a sharp insight. The success was just too big. Astronomical. It created this impossible standard to live up to.
He's competing against himself.
Essentially, yeah. Competing against the ghost of Thriller forever. The pressure became immense. The isolation at the very top. It was crushing.
Which leads us to the whole King of Pop era and Neverland Ranch. More than just a rich guy's theme park, according to the book.
Much more. Tarabarelli calls it a manifesto, a physical attempt to build a wall against the adult world he feared.
Trying to recreate that lost childhood.
Absolutely. Amusement park rides, zoo, movie theater. It was his sanctuary. A place to be Peter Pan, maybe, forever young and safe from judgment.
But outside Neverland's gates, the public perception was starting to, well, curdle, wasn't it? the Wekko Jacko narrative.
Yeah, that shift was dramatic. The media narrative changed. All these bizarre stories started surfacing.
The hyperbaric chamber, Bubbles the Chimp.
Right. Buying the elephant man's bones. Some stories may be exaggerated, some possibly even encouraged by his own camp for Mystique. Who knows? But it built this image of extreme eccentricity.
Detached from reality.
Exactly. Which made him a target for ridicule and later, suspicion.
And this coincided with his changing appearance, which fueled even more speculation.
It did. The book addresses his vitiligo diagnosis seriously. That was real. But it also looks at the extensive plastic surgery.
Why? What does Tara Borelli suggest was behind that?
Well, partly maybe this obsessive perfectionism, but also maybe something deeper. A dissatisfaction with the face that reminded him of his father, his past. Struggles with identity.
Wow. The book says, in trying to create himself as the perfect human being, Michael Jackson lost touch with his humanity. That's powerful.
It really captures that disconnect, doesn't it? This quest for an impossible ideal.
He wanted to be, what was the quote, the world's most famous person and completely invisible at the same time.
Perfectly sums up the impossible bind he was in. Craving adoration, but terrified of the scrutiny.
Which brings us to the really difficult parts, the child molestation allegations, 1993 and then again in 2005. How does the book handle these?
Very carefully. Tara Borelli provides a balanced account, contextualizing them within Michael's known psychological patterns, this arrested development, the Peter Pan syndrome.
His desire for innocence may be taken to a dangerous place.
That seems to be the implication. His need for childhood connection may be becoming inappropriate or misinterpreted, combined with his isolation and naivety about how things looked. The book doesn't excuse, but it tries to explain the context.
Even after he was acquitted in the 2005 trial.
The damage was done. As the book says, he had long since been convicted in the court of public opinion. It basically destroyed him.
And his marriages during this period, Lisa Marie Presley, Debbie Rowe, the book sees them as more than just celebrity couplings.
Yeah. Tara Borelli portrays them as these almost desperate attempts to build a normal family life he never had, seeking stability, connection, but maybe not knowing how. It just underscores the loneliness.
It all leads towards the end. The financial issues, the isolation, the pressure of the comeback tour.
This is it, yeah. The immense pressure of that, combined with his reliance on prescription drugs, particularly propofol.
It culminated in his death in 2009, a tragedy foretold in some ways.
The book lays out how all these factors, the fame, the trauma, the isolation, the physical and mental health issues converged. It's a truly sobering story.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Part four. Core philosophy and values. What really drove Michael Jackson, according to Tara Borelli's analysis?
I think at its core, it was this relentless drive for perfection,
yeah.
Fueled by deep insecurity. He needed that validation, that love from the audience, maybe to fill the void left by his childhood.
So perfectionism as a coping mechanism, almost.
Perhaps. And also this deep-seated desire to escape his past, escape judgment, maybe even escape adulthood itself. Neverland was the ultimate symbol of that. His philosophy seemed rooted in creating magic, wonder, innocence.
Perhaps because he felt he'd been denied it himself.
And a belief in the power of music and performance to transcend everything.
Absolutely. That was his safe space, his true language. On stage, he was in control, he was loved, he was masterful. The magic was real there.
Now for part five, three pivotal turning points. If you had to pick three moments from the book that fundamentally changed his life's trajectory, what would they be? Okay, three key turning points. First, I'd say the decision to partner with Quincy Jones and make Off the Wall, and then Thriller. That was his artistic liberation, and the moment the pressure cooker of fame reached an unbearable level.
So liberation and imprisonment starting at the same time.
Kind of, yeah. The second turning point.
Yeah.
Definitely the first child molestation allegations in 1993.
Oh.
That marked the definitive shift in public perception from eccentric genius to Wacko Jacko, and for many, something darker. It shattered his image irrevocably.
Even though there was a settlement, not a conviction then.
Right, but the suspicion lingered and grew.
Yeah.
And the third, I think it has to be at the 2005 trial.
Yeah.
Even though he was acquitted on all counts, the process itself, the public scrutiny, the things revealed, Tara Borelli argues it broke his spirit completely. He was never the same after that.
Okay, that makes sense. Leading into part six, human lessons and reflection. What does Michael Jackson's story teach us? How can we relate his struggles to our own lives, even without the extreme fame?
Well, on a very human level, it's a stark reminder of how deeply childhood experiences shape us. The need for love, for validation, the wounds we carry. They don't just disappear. even with immense success.
So the importance of addressing trauma, maybe.
Definitely. His life shows the devastating consequences of unresolved trauma. And it also speaks to the dangers of perfectionism, how striving for an impossible ideal can lead to self-destruction.
We see that in everyday life too, don't we? People burning out, chasing something unattainable.
Absolutely. And the isolation, maybe not on his scale, but the loneliness that can come even when you're surrounded by people, or the curated loneliness of online life today. His story highlights the fundamental human need for genuine connection.
It forces you to look beyond the headlines, doesn't it?
It really does, to see the human being behind the public persona, warts and all.
Okay, let's wrap up the main discussion with part 7. 3 final takeaways based on Tara Borelli's book. Let's frame them as emotional, intellectual, and universal insights. First, an emotional insight.
Emotionally, I think the most powerful lesson is the profound impact of lost innocence and the desperate, often misguided lengths someone might go to reclaim it or protect what little they feel they have left. His vulnerability, even amidst the spectacle, is heartbreaking.
An intellectual insight, what key idea does the book leave us with?
Intellectually, it's the undeniable, intricate link between creative genius and personal demons, the magic and the madness. The book forces us to consider how often great art arises from great pain and the immense personal cost that can accompany extraordinary talent, especially when coupled with early trauma.
And finally, a universal insight. Something practical we can all take away.
Universally, it's a crucial lesson in empathy and the danger of judgment. His story challenges us to resist simplistic black and white narratives about anyone, famous or not. People are complex, contradictory. We need to look deeper than the surface, understand the context, and maybe offer a bit more compassion.
A reminder that behind every public face, there's a complicated human story.
Exactly. And that fame and fortune are absolutely no substitute for inner peace and genuine human connection.
Powerful takeaways. Before we close, just one final thought for you, our listener, to consider. Tara Borelli's account suggests Michael's tragedy wasn't inevitable. Different choices, different support systems, things might have gone differently.
Which raises the question, what's our collective responsibility as a society, as media consumers? How do we engage with fame? Do we feed the machine that builds people up only to tear them down?
Or can we find a way to appreciate the magic without contributing to the madness? Something to think about. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.